Welcome to Spiel Chicago, the podcast exploring the thoughtful and progressive work of women in Chicago theater. This week, my guest also happens to be one of my oldest friends and a fellow FSU alumni. Kara Tesh is a costume design assistant and craftsperson here in Chicago. She recently moved from D.C., and we got a chance to catch up, talk shop, and to chat a little bit about the city.
Hi, Kara.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
Tell me what you do.
Currently, I am working at Northlight Theater as a second wardrobe assistant, which basically is part of the wardrobe crew. I just finished City of Conversation, and now we're going into Mrs. Bennett's Christmas at Pemberley. I always want to call it Miss Bennett's Christmas Surprise, but that's not what it's called.
This is a different
There's play. No surprise.
Cool. And you studied costume design, correct?
Yes, costume design and technology.
At Florida State.
Yep. Go Noles.
Go Noles. So how did you, were you always into like fashion and costume design, or was it something you discovered? How did it start?
As a child, was always very crafty. I remember one Christmas where my mom got me a bunch of those like Klutz craft. Like that was the best Christmas ever. So I've always been like, let's craft and paint. And for a while, I wanted to be an actress, but I cannot speak in front of any more than five people or act, I guess. So the costume shop was like, you can sew really well. Do you want to come do this? So I did.
Kara majored in costume design and technology at Florida State. I have a lot of memories of her from that time, of practicing renderings or examining the fibers of some curtains through the tips of her fingers. Most of the actual costuming, as it were, was done in the costume shop.
So I spent a lot of time in that weird basement costume shop just asking to do whatever I could, and they let me do it, which was great, but also I had no free time. / I really felt like I lived in that tiny basement.
Is that a lot of a costume? It's just like living in basements in front of sewing machines?
Yes and no. As I have worked in many costume shops across the country, yes, a lot of it is sitting in a basement. Although I've been very fortunate to work in some windowed costume shops, which is, let me tell you, night and day.
What are some of the universal things about costume shops? Like, what is something every costume shop has?
There's always machines. I just generally, the first thing that pops in my mind is just big Rubbermaid totes of whatever. And it's always a sliding scale of how organized are these Rubbermaid totes going to be. And that is how I kind of see what the level of, like, if it's just a Rubbermaid tote full of, and it just says shoes, you're in trouble. But if it says like 18th century men's shoes from this particular manufacturer, you know,
you're in the right place.
You know, it's going to be awesome.
And then you went to grad school.
Yeah, then I went to grad school.
How was that?
It was it was an experience that I don't want to live again, but I'm glad that happened. It taught me a lot about who I am and what I want and don't want for my life and career.
What did you discover you don't want?
I don't want to teach people right now. I think teaching is something reserved for people who have the knowledge and the experience to do so, especially in things like theater, where it's like, what do we do when this happens? And it's such a specific problem that I feel only comes from experience.
And then what did you discover that you do want to do?
I do want to work in professional theater. I think there's a big difference between academic theater and professional theater. I don't think I'm cut out for academic theater. I know some people are and they love it and they want to see the light in those kids' eyes, but I don't. Not that I don't, I just, it's not for me.
Yeah. What about it is different than professional theater?
Professional theater, I feel, has just the goal of, we're going to create this show and it's, we're focusing on working as a team and everyone is working hopefully at the same level to make this product. And while there are, I felt in academic theater, there was so, so many other factors. Like, well, the students need to learn about this, and we need to do a show about this because these specific kids need to do this, and we have to use these specific resources because they're tax deductible. And it was just, there's so many holds and stops and red tape to cut through that I can't work like that.
I kind of remember that from FSU, like in the discussions about picking the season, where they were like, well, we can't just do these three plays because it's like we have to cast from our student pool and we have to do one period thing so that the costumers can design a period. We have these constraints for the set design students, and also like, can we afford to do this?
Right. And it's, we have to do a musical because we have all these musical theater kids and they got to do their thing. But yeah, the thing that I remember is I was put in charge of designing the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which we're all familiar with. And my theme was like basement dungeon bondage sex party. So we made a bunch of like bondage harnesses, and we had I wanted like pasties and like titty tassels and crotchless things. And they were like, you can't do that because no one can handle that amount of sexy. And then I was like, okay, well, we can make this family friendly. And I had to order these men's drag queen shoes from this place called Janet's Closet in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Shout out to Janet's Closet. The school wouldn't let me do it because they like put a block on our credit card because it was considered like sexual paraphernalia, because Janet's Closet also happened to have like a nice selection of
laundry,
like sex toys or whatever. Like, this place sells a dildo and therefore we can't buy shoes. Like, and it was like, I just need the shoes to do the show and you can't hold them because why? Like, what?
Yeah. So basically, like, a lot of creative restrictions for various reasons.
Correct.
Kara spent a summer working at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. And a little while after that, she took a job at the Shakespeare Theater Company in D.C.
I was the design assistant intern, which you essentially assist the assistant. You help the assistant do whatever she needs to do to get the show up on its feet. It's a lot of pulling shoes and organizing and driving this really rickety van through the streets of Washington, D.C., running errands. It was very awesome.
You loved it? You loved doing all that stuff?
I absolutely loved it. Like, well, because it was so, because where I was going to grad school was in the middle of nowhere. And then I was in this big city driving this van around doing little things for this big theater. And my first day at the Shakespeare Theater Company was their invited dress rehearsal of their show Measure for Measure. And they were like, okay, well, like, the last part of your day, we're going to watch this show. And it started and it was like stripper nuns and like glittery, like Weimar Republic showgirl costumes and like beautiful suits and fog and lights and music and live band. And I just remember like, I made it. This is where I'm supposed to be. Like, oh my God. Look cool. At all that stuff. Yeah, it was a big change.
While she was in D.C., Kara realized that the thing she'd been working for her whole career thus far, costume design, might not be what she wanted to do. But she found kind of a sweet spot in design assisting.
It was great. It felt like, because the whole time I was in school and I was doing all this stuff, I was really trying to market myself as a costume designer. But once I got to the Shakespeare Theater, they said, well, there's this other thing that you can do being a design assistant or a designer's assistant. And it clicked. Oh, this is all of the things that I like about designing with the things that I don't like being taken out. And I actually really excel at doing these things, and it's very fulfilling.
Kara told me that she loves to work on very specific period pieces, the kind of thing that requires lots of research about what kinds of shoes men wore in this particular part of the country and what women carried in their bags at this particular time. As a design assistant, she enjoyed the challenge of hunting down all those things.
Was there a lot of times that you couldn't find stuff and you had to make it yourself?
Yeah. you know, designers, they find pictures of stuff on the internet and they fall in love with them, and it just doesn't exist out there. And so you try and like say, well, I can't find this, but I did find these. And I think that is actually really fun too, where you try and find some other products that capture the sort of life and essence of this blurry picture that your designers printed out for you.
This like 300 bit picture.
Or it's like it was on the runway 3 years ago at Prada and I saw it and now I want it. Well, I can't even buy it for you because it's $1,000.
What's the weirdest thing you had to make?
There was an incident a while back in which there was going to be some male nudity. And, you know, Washington, D.C., it's a liberal place, but they still don't want to see male nudity. So they said, well, can we like cover it with something, but I don't want to see, because you can get, it's called the Houdini, it's like a little bag that has little straps, but you can still see the straps, like those clear bra straps. Mm-hmm. They said we don't want to see that because it'll take away from the magic of this rape scene. So they were like, can we make a sock, like a sock to put his genitals in? And so, you know, how do you have a fitting for that? You know, you just kind of go, well, I think it's this size. And so like it was kind of weird because you a design assistant, you're the person that puts the clothes on people, like mm-hmm. you're the first person that the actor sees when they come in, and you do this like, okay, here are your shoes and your socks and your t-shirt, and you're gonna put on these pants and this shirt, and then I'm gonna step out, and then I'm gonna come back in, and we're gonna bring the designer in and, you know, make you look great. But to be like, okay, so here's your cock sock, and yeah, just like let me know how that works.
That's awesome. I hope it's on your resume as like a special skill.
We just did a show that was actually for a different show, but we, not just a show, it was a year ago, we did a show with a lot of nudity and a lot of non-English speaking actors.
Good.
So you have to like deal with the not a theater person translator, so you have to tell the translator like, well, do you want to wear the male thong or what? And then he turns to the guy and like speaks in Farsi to him, and then he turns back and he goes, no, I don't think he wants to do that.
That's awesome. Kara just moved to Chicago a couple of months ago, and as an endless advocate for everybody cool moving to Chicago, I wanted to know how she liked it. And so how long were you in D.C.?
I was in D.C. a grand total of 3 years.
And you've moved to Chicago very recently.
Yes, September 1st.
Which is, as of this recording, like a month ago. Two months ago.
2 months ago, yeah.
Yeah. So what is D.C. like?
D.C. is a place for affluent people who are involved in politics. If you fit any of those boxes, come on down to D.C. I realize D.C. is for people who have money. Like, every restaurant that opened, every place that opened, the way that the neighborhoods were going, it's so based on your income and how high that is. It's not for people who don't have money. Like, the main reason that I left was because it was just so hard to make a living. Like, I worked this full-time job at the Shakespeare Theater, and then I went and I bartended at night, and then I also dressed mannequins at the Gap. And then at the end of the day, I said, I could probably have two jobs someplace else instead of three jobs here.
Cool. And so you came to Chicago.
I did come to Chicago.
And did you have something lined up when you got here? Or were you just like, screw it, I'm gonna see what happens?
No, I didn't. I tried to go about it in like the correct way. So like, I had so many meetings with my mentor and supervisor at the Shakespeare Theater. Like, I was very open, like, I want to move to Chicago. She was like, that's great, let me help you. So March, before I moved, I sent out like welcome packets to all the major theaters saying, hi, my name is Kara, and here's my resume and my website. Nobody responded to me. No one wanted to talk to me. Like, they were like, that is awesome that you're coming here. Please contact us when you are here. Mm. So that was, it was a little, it was very sad,
but you came
it's
anyway.
Worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you eventually find work?
I saw a posting on Offstage Jobs, I think it's called, that the Goodman needed a stitcher. And so I just sent all of my information off, and then they said, come on down and we'll interview you. And then I worked there.
How was that?
It was cool. I was an overhire stitcher / craftsperson, and man, they have an operation going on down there. Like, it is big, and there are a lot of people down there working very fast. Yeah, I was just like in a corner at a table with my sewing machine. Like, it's not something that I want to do day in, day out until I die, but it was pretty awesome working, you know, at the Goodman. Just, you know, you have to like swipe a card to get down into the basement. Fancy. Yeah, and then the costume shop is like in the same area as the dressing rooms and the actors. So you'd come back from lunch and these people would be like warming up and like doing their thing because it was a big musical. And you're like, I made it. This cool. is awesome. And like the ads ran on the newspaper, like on the news and on NPR. And it was very,
you could be
like,
that's my show.
Yeah, I was like, I'm part of something at a very small level.
What are the ways in which the theater world in Chicago is different from in DC?
There's a lot more of it.
In Chicago,
yeah. I feel like in DC there are 3 or 4 like major theaters, and they have their people. And in terms of like from the costume standpoint, there are only two or three shops, I would say, in DC that have staff and are looking to hire over hire. There's just not a lot of extra work to be done. You know, if you don't have work lined up at the beginning of the season, you're kind of out of luck, or somebody might throw you a bone, or might be able to pick up some wardrobe jobs. But I really feel like Chicago, they constantly need people to do something at any time. Mm-hmm. So you could be like, I'm free, and someone will say, oh, okay, come on down and make crafts or run wardrobe or, you know, be an assistant or whatever you need.
In addition to being a design assistant, Kara found that the skills she gained when studying design made her perfectly suited for some other jobs that she really enjoys.
So explain to me, because you said you're a dresser for Gap.
Yeah.
How does that work?
A dresser for Gap or a dresser for Northlight?
Gap.
Yeah.
I think I understand what a dresser for Northlight is, right? You're just like,
you're
like a wardrobe.
Yeah. Like, are you wearing the right coat for this act? No? Okay, why don't you change that? Okay, great. Have a great act. That's a lot of my job. When I dressed mannequins for Gap, you sort of show up and they hand you this packet with pictures. And then there's like a list of clothes and the mannequin is naked and you dress them.
I guess I didn't realize that that was a job. I never thought about who does it.
I didn't think about who does it either until I had a friend get the job. And I said, well, I have some of those skills. Like, my roommate in Washington, D.C. worked at Anthropology. And she said, oh, come on down, because they're making gingerbread houses out of cardboard and plaster of Paris. So when I applied at the Chicago Anthropology, you know, I told them about my crafts experience and they were very excited. So I did a lot of, we're going to make some paper snowflakes, and then we're going to dip them in wax, and then we're going to roll them in glitter, and then we're going to hang them individually from the ceiling, and there'll be 1,000 of them. So you need to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning.
That sounds super fun.
It's way awesome. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of drinking the Anthropology Kool-Aid. And I kind of don't want to, but I also kind of do because it's so warm and fuzzy and tasty.
Well, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask, do you have any advice for someone on like maybe a similar trajectory as yours a few years ago as to like design or construction, or what are some like tips and tricks they don't tell you in school?
I feel like looking back on my journey and what has been the most helpful has probably been the wide variety of places that I've worked. So I guess my advice would be, actually, the really great thing is the summer places that I've worked, like places like Utah Shakespeare Festival. And I just recently worked at American Players Theater, which is actually like the best place to go before moving to Chicago, because everyone in Chicago worked there. And now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, do you know this person? They're like, oh my God, I do too. They're so great. They're great too. Did you work at American Players Theater? Yeah. That conversation has happened at least 100 times since I've been here. So I would just research the places for the summer that you can go to, because usually you're just doing that one thing. Like, you can't work another job while you work at these summer places because you're an out-of-towner. You meet a lot of really great people, and you meet a lot of your peers, and you can see what they're doing and ask them about their life. And that's where I've gotten tips like, oh, hey, I heard that so-and-so is hiring, and you just apply there. So kind of getting out and exploring these large regional summer theaters is good to sort of be on the scene and feel the pulse of your peers and what they're doing.
Cool. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about or promote before we wrap up? You don't have to.
I think that's it.
Cool. Well, Kara, thanks for coming on and talking to me about costuming.
Thanks. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to Spiel Chicago. If you'd like to learn more about Kara or any of the other things we talked about in this episode, you can check out the links on our show page. If you have any questions, comments, or rants, you can email us at spielchicago, that's S-P-I-E-L, Chicago, at gmail.com, or tweet us at spielchicago on Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you at the theater.